Yes.
Is anyone here?
What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Alrighty. Good Friday. What happened to Sonia?
Sonia disappeared again. Again.
Adoy. Okay. Good Friday evening, everybody. This is Eugene Tay, along the rest of my co-hosts. Ah, there we go. Sonia is back today without her hair down. So sorry, boys. You don't get to see that. Nice. Out of bed. Nope. OnlyFans.com/SoniaK. You're watching us on Supernatural Confessions, where we share ghost stories, lame jokes, and sometimes off-color humor. But that's what Friday Live Show is all about. Unscripted, totally off the cuff. Hopefully you love us more than you hate us. We have great content coming up for you. You guys have requested for members of the community to come up on our show live. Last week we have Oliver Yong giving us very good content, confessions, doing his tarot reading, oracle reading rather. Day, stay tuned because we have Hadi Day. Hadi J is a well-known name in the community, having confess so many stories. You know that name. You want to see him live. You want to ask him questions. He's coming on the show around somewhere midway. But before we get into all that and the content of today's show, let me introduce my very good looking and beautiful co-host who's making all this very possible with me. From that guy with a cap right down there. He goes by the name of Kim. That's not his real name. His real name is Joachim Then, or Joachim Then. But it's hard to pronounce, so we just call him Kimmy Boy or Cuckoo Bird for short. All the way, very nearby from Sarawak, Kuching.
Hello, hello, hey, hello. Everybody, for tuning in. It's Friday once again.
The reason why I introduced you guys this way was I just finished watching wrestling. And all the way from Sembawang, Wing. Yes.
Don't go there. Oh, Jesus.
How heavy am I? What?
It sounds like 40 kg.
51 kilos. How many pounds is that?
I heard Eugene say 60 tons.
Yeah, yeah. Same, yeah.
I was getting my pen ready.
during the setup and mic check, the guys make some jokes, but fortunately at that point in time, Tonya's headphones was not working, so we just got away with all the murder.
Thank God.
Sonia, how are you doing? Say hello.
Hello.
Elvin, could you give Sonia a bit less headroom? Because she looks really short compared to all of us in this framing. She is really short.
Tall anyway.
Yeah, but
very tiny.
It's all proportionate, so you please don't talk about my height like that.
All right. Everything's proportionate. And that's the bottom. And from down under, that is JDC, the Apex Predators. Zero thoughts given. How are you, JD?
I'm very well, thank you. I don't think I want to say anything because I feel quite mischievous tonight, and so I'll say something wrong. Sonia's going to stab me the next time I see her. So I'm just going to go, Sonia, you look lovely. You look lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah. And on behalf of JDC, we want to apologize to you. If he's not replying to any of your messages on Facebook or YouTube, that's because he has been banned from typing on his keyboard. People in Sembawang can hear him type.
It's a very loud mechanical keyboard. So I apologize if I can't reply to anything.
You want to demo how loud it sounds?
All right. I'm just gonna type my name.
Everyone heard it.
I think you can create an ASMR video just by you typing. I think you can put it out on YouTube. I think it's gonna be a hit. You're gonna be a millionaire, bro. But just don't do it on Supernatural Confession.
Okay. I can hantam left, right, center tonight.
Also, just want to read out. Alvin, we also have the postage guy, the postage stamp up there on the top right hand of the screen.
You forgot.
The guy who's always forgotten. Since they're so tiny up there, that's Elvin De Cruz. Also, we cannot forget him because the one time he took leave to go on a vacation, we were struggling to run the operations amongst ourselves. So he has been banned from taking any off for the next 3 years. Elvin, how you doing? Yeah, much better. I think I like the excitement today. Last week's show was good. The week before was great. Also, there's a comment that is very hilarious. I want to read it out for you guys. This is on YouTube. Where?
Okay, it's on YouTube.
The club says, my girlfriend says I perform better after I listen to Kim's joke every week.
What kind of performance are we talking about?
Yeah.
That's why.
Tennis, tennis, I think. Tennis.
Interpretive of dance.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And right on top of that, KS say, I need the off-tempo heart to get Kim's first job. I don't quite get it, but thanks.
And some of you are wondering what's the music that we played at the start of the show and whether you can download it from somewhere. That's actually written and performed by the Silver Star Singapore homegrown rockabilly, horribly band. It was written for Supernatural Confessions, and I'm sure it's going to be out there on music video soon. That we can try to put together something. And it's organized by We Are Music, founded by Lynn. She's also in the chat group right now as Lynn. So Lynn something, I believe. So
if you YouTube want to say hello, or Facebook?
YouTube. She's on YouTube. Okay. Just like,
I think it's on YouTube, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're listening to us on podcast and wondering what the hell is this YouTube or Facebook thing going on, every Friday, 10 p.m. live from Singapore, we stream on both Facebook and YouTube, and this show is then put into a podcast on Monday, produced by Kimmy Boy.
I agree with what Ivan Go says on Facebook.
Yeah, I think you can hear me now, right? Hello, hello.
Why Elvin cannot be placed in the middle? I totally agree. I reckon Elvin can be placed right in that middle, right in that middle spot right there.
Yeah, but the person that controls it, he doesn't want to do it. That is himself. He don't want to do it. Who can do it for him?
He says he's shy.
I'm shy.
Next time
bro.
I see him, he's gonna kinda hurt him.
Bro, I'm shy, bro. You want how I put Joe in the middle?
Hey, don't.
Now occupy his bottom right.
Try.
Can everyone? Try.
No, it's okay.
Well,
I said silver studs. What? What did I say? I didn't say silver studs. I thought I said silver studs.
What did you say?
Silver studs. Yeah.
Silver studs.
Yeah,
it is.
Okay, so KSA came off tempo and hard to get because after you're done with the joke, he or he goes, huh? What just happened?
Okay.
Is that what the girlfriend would say, right? Huh? What just happened?
Kim, why don't you hit us with your off-colored, off-tempo joke? Let's see whether how many of us can get it today.
Okay. I do not know whether you guys heard it before. I'm going to do two quick ones. Huh? So, what is the difference between your job and your wife?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man.
After five years,
is Mrs. Dakota listening to it?
No, this is not happening.
I'm still gonna say it. After 5 years, your job still
sucked.
Okay. I'm gonna put the father in the picture also, huh? Do you know what is the similarity between you and your father?
I don't want to go there at all.
Both of you have been inside your mother.
Okay.
Thank you very much. That's my time, ladies and gentlemen. We shall proceed with the more serious stuff.
If you perform better after that, there's something wrong with you.
He must have said that because it's Mother's Day on Sunday.
Oh my god. That got a lot more nastier now.
I think this is for all the stepsons out there.
I mean, that is why you need to be in the middle instead of as the posted step.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And that is the opening act. Kim, give it up for Cuckoo Boy. Moving on next to the next segment, we have Joseph Dakota doing housekeeping for us and giving us the updates on what's hot on Supernatural Confessions community this week.
Besides myself and Kim, this is what's hot on Facebook.
Yeah.
You like that? Yeah, that was quite smooth, wasn't it? Thank you very much. I've been holding on to that one for quite a while. That's not the only thing I've been holding on, but don't worry about it. There's two posts, right? It's a series of posts by a gentleman called Mugulan Rajamohan, and he was the guy that posted a thing about a possession case. So it's two long posts. I'm going to summarize it as much as I can, and the third post is yet to be typed, so we're waiting for the third section. So basically he and his partner bought a couple of knives because I think he was doing some cooking, and he accidentally cut himself with the knife on his palm, and that severed an artery, and so blood was going everywhere. The short of it was that he managed to go to hospital. While at hospital where he was getting treatment, his mother and his wife turned up. Okay. Now, they were obviously quite distressed because he had actually, kind of cut himself, and the wife had actually gone home and seen the blood everywhere. But he assured them nothing was wrong, and he told them, look, don't worry about cleaning the place tonight, right? It's going to be late. Don't do it. However, on the way back home, they went to clean the house up. On the way there, the wife started behaving in a very strange manner, so much so they needed to stop by a small little Hindu temple to get some blessed ash. But when the wife went home, the story after that was she started getting possessed, behaving in a very, very kind of strange way. The next day, they took her to a temple where the priest actually confirmed that she was possessed by something very, very big. Now, we don't know what happens after that because this gentleman has yet to post the third part of his story. Mm. And I suspect that this has got to do with an exorcism, right?
Mm.
So this occurred in Malaysia, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, this happened in Malaysia, the outskirts of KL.
Mm.
So, and he's posted a photo of his hand, of his palm actually, and there's it's a gash there and kind of stitches on that. So I'm waiting with bated breath to hear what the next story is going to be like. Yeah. And
well, if you like to hear this sort of ghost stories, guys, and you're listening to us on podcast or YouTube and wondering where do we get all these confessions from, go to Facebook, search for SC Supernatural Confessions private group, must be the Hantu, and then click join, answer some questions, and we'll prove you guys there.
Yeah, and while I was kind of trolling or trolling through the post from the SE, it must be the Hantu page, I've noticed a little bit of a drop in user stories. So I really want to encourage everyone that's listening, if you've got a story, to go in there and please post your original stories. And if you think you've got something particularly special, get in contact with one of us and we will make sure that it's featured on the show.
Mm, for sure, for sure. You can send in your confessions to us on supernaturalconfessions.com. You can talk to us through WhatsApp, through Messenger, face to face, write us a story, send us your voice recording, write out a story for us. You can do it so many ways. We are here to allow you the space, the safe space, to confess your stories and we'll put it up online. And also
doesn't matter whether you think your story, nobody's gonna believe my story, or you think I've told at least 10 of my friends, even my best friend, don't even buy it and say I'm crazy. We are not here to say that you are wrong. There's nothing such as like that. We don't believe you.
We're not here to judge.
We're not here to judge. We just want to hear that part of your story.
Yeah. Yeah, moving on. So if you're new to Supernatural Confessions and wondering what the four of us are up to, we four take different opinions and different point of views of a particular story to talk about the what if, what could be, what may be out of it. But before we get into our very first confession, I'm going to leave JDC to tell you about something about a coffee. If you want to support us, if you like what we do, you can do so by
going to buymeacoffee.com/SC Friday Live. And look, this is just a way for you to show support. Buy us a coffee. It can be one, it can be two, it can be 400. We don't care. As long as you're here listening with us and enjoying the content, we really are very happy for that. This is why we do it. We do it because we love it, right? But if you want to show us that little bit more extra support, please don't hesitate to buy us a coffee.
Yeah,
I come up with better jokes and dirtier ones if I get coffee as well. So yeah, just information lah. I'm not saying should buy us, but I'm just saying.
if someone drops 50 coffees on us in one go, Kim will tell his most cringeworthy, his dirtiest joke ever.
He'd do that for three.
Yeah, he'd do that for three. Yeah, that's correct.
Joe said that. I didn't say that.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, if one of you could put the link there, and I will pin it to our Facebook group and on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Cool. Moving on to our very first confession, we have, you know how when we were kids, right, we would draw on the walls, we would, you know, dirty the floor, and our parents would scold us. Mm. Have any of you tried painting on the Kuan Yin statue, like drawing a moustache or colouring eyes?
Or any deity statue, lah.
Yeah. Yeah. One kid did. Her name is Joey. And this is Joey's confession called The Moving Pupil of Kuan Yin Statue, but it's narrated by Li Chia.
The Moving Pupil of Kuan Yin Statue by Joey Tan. My grandpa used to have a sturdy wooden writing table that he brought over from Malaysia. He built his own table with little shelves and displayed items on the table to decorate his working area. There were little statues of zodiacs that my uncle painted, a medium-sized Kuan Yin statue that was never blessed, and other knickknacks on the table. I was only a wee bit tall and had to first climb onto the sofa and then my grandpa's study chair to reach his table. His table was my favorite perch in the whole house because I loved how everything else looked smaller from above. My grandpa never scolded me for climbing onto his table because I was never a nuisance. One of the favorite times when I would do this was in the mornings when my grandma was out and about for her daily market shopping. I would either stand on the shoe shelves under the corridor window, squeezing my head between the window grills like a prisoner, or lie on top of grandpa's table and pretend to nap there. As usual, I had first stood at the window waiting for my grandma because I was hungry, but I lost interest when she didn't return as I expected. So I lay on the table to wait for her. I was bored and rummaged through a few of my grandpa's knickknacks. I found a sharp pencil and started to lightly trace the tip on the statues of the zodiacs. Since I had recently discovered the fun of playing join the dots games in the newspaper, I thought I could join the dots with the eyes of the statues. I poked my sharp pencil tip into the dark grey pupil of the Kuan Yin statue, thinking I can draw the line from one pupil to the other one. When I was happily colouring in the pupil on the statue, I felt my ears get hot, like someone had been pinching or twisting them, but there wasn't any pain. I dragged the pencil tip slowly across Kuan Yin's nose bridge and saw the pupil following the pencil's movement. Then the pupil snapped back to the center. I blinked a few times. I sat up with my face up close to the Kuan Yin statue, and I saw the pupil doing the same movement again. This time, the pupil flicked left and right, like a normal human eye. Then the eyes snapped, and Kuan Yin was looking straight at me. I yelped and toppled backwards, landing on my ass and backpedaling a few paces. That's when my grandma returned and stared at me. I sputtered and pointed at the statue and told her what happened. She said, "Naughty la, little goddess of mercy beat your backside. You better correct your mistake." Soon, I was back up on the table, 1,000 apologies to Kuan Yin in my head and an eraser in my hand. Growing up, I thought this event was just my dream or imagination. But lo and behold, till today, you can still see there were faint pencil marks on the right eye of the Kuan Yin statue.
Hello. This one is freaky.
Naughty.
I think you have to imagine it. You have to imagine how does the eyes look like on the statue. I think that would be creepier, right? You have to imagine it. Oh my god.
No, because you can imagine that she's drawing, you know, very innocently, then she feels her ear is hot and the eyes just move as the pencil's moving towards you. And statues are scary by nature, but when the eyes
When kids do this sort of stuff, right, you forgive them very easily because they do it on their dolls and all sorts of other inanimate objects. But to do it on a statue? Oh, my.
Okay. This one? Okay. So granted, guys, I can kind of predict all the various ways we can kind of like debunk. Okay, not debunk. Offer an alternative
string
perspective of this story, right? Too young to remember, yada, 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 right? But I think let's look at the context of this statue and eyes moving thing. Just how cool is that? And have you guys heard any other stories that are similar in nature to such things?
I remember somebody or a confessor actually posted that something like this happened in Geez, now I don't remember the park's name. There is this park that has this 18 levels of Haw Par Villa, right?
Haw Par Villa, yes.
Haw Par
yes.
Villa, yeah. So one of our confessors, I remember saying that they used to organize something like a treasure hunt there.
Yep.
But this thing happened in the evening. So they were there running around, and the moment the sun sets, the confessor remember seeing one of the statue actually turn their eyes to look at her. But when she thought that it was just a hallucination or just her being a tired mind and whatnot, she jabut. And then after that, when she talked to the friend said, she saw it too.
She saw it too.
Yeah. I've never been to, I want to claim first, I've never been to Haw Par Villa. That is one of the places that I wanted to go when I land in Singapore very, very soon, hopefully. But please bring me like 12 noon like that, huh? When the sun is the brightest. Don't bring me like, after Maghrib, where to go, Kim? Let's go to Haw Par Villa.
Haw Par Villa, America? Let's go.
No, please. I don't even want to go to Elvin's house after sunset.
Oh, why? Okay, well, let's save her.
I don't know. I don't want to see what Leonidas saw when he was there.
So I got a few little boys for you. Wait, that sounds wrong.
No. No, please don't.
That's not a very different turn.
little boys is for Joe. I'm not.
What's for me?
So yeah, that's like one of the stories that I remember.
Yeah. No, there's this incident that I believe when I was in Malaysia, I was told that a particular mannequin in a stall, a boy was running around, he was being naughty, and what happened was when he started running around and being misbehaving in a stall, I think it was like the department store, some mall, and then suddenly he started crying. And then when his mother came to find him, she found him with a mannequin holding onto his arm.
The mannequin is holding onto the kid's arm.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he was crying and like, yeah, let me go. But the mannequin was holding onto his arm.
I should try that the next time.
Yeah. You want to run around?
I already do that. No, yeah. I want to set it up where the mannequin is holding onto my arm and, you know, create a little bit of a ruckus.
Yeah. Tonya, for you as a person who's always talking about the rational side of things, but I remember we had a conversation once about putting idols around the house, and you were like,
yes.
no idols at home because it's a vessel for spirit. What's your take on that?
Yeah. So this comes from an Islamic standpoint, why you don't have inanimate objects that resemble things that are alive, things like the human shape, or even of animals, you know, things that are in nature. This you'll even see in Islamic architecture. They don't portray living things. Yeah. And the reason for it is because they believe it is a vessel or a refuge for spirits to occupy something that looks lifelike. Especially if it's very lifelike. You know how some of these wooden carvings are super lifelike and all that?
Yeah.
All the more, it's a no-no. Because spirits can take possession and seek refuge in things, inanimate objects that look very lifelike or take on that form.
So you're saying that the hantu can actually go into all this inanimate object? That what's inside this object could be?
That is the belief. I know what you're doing.
I want to keep it on a serious tone before Eugene stray too far, for those who do not know, that is why for Muslim they buried their body as soon as possible. The moment they die, as soon as they clean it up, wrap it, and they will bury it. As soon as they let's say they pass away in the morning, they will most likely do the burial in the late afternoon. That is the fastest. It's because they are afraid when the soul leaves the body become an empty vessel, so something can sit in.
Oh,
yeah. Unlike us Chinese, I know sometimes we keep until 3-4 days a week, right? So for Muslim, it has to be as soon.
I'd love to hear stories from wakes. Have we got stories from wakes? You know how when they keep it out there for 3-4 days. I mean, for people to come and pay respects, but to keep the body. Do we have any of those stories from wakes?
I've got a story for a wake, but it's too long to tell today. I'll do it another day.
You want to give us a Cliff Notes version of that one? Oh, is that this the one that's my... your story?
No, no, it's not the one where I took the video and we got that that audio. No, it's not that one. It's a one that actually happened in Singapore. It was my grandfather's funeral when I came down in, you know, the early 2001, 2002. Basically, we had a wake at a church, which was bordering a graveyard. And there was a lot of weird stuff that actually happened in that wake. People saw things. My uncle, who has the third eye, saw my grandfather's body vibrating in the coffin, moving around like in a weird way. My mom saw apparitions. There were smells, and there was, and I can attest to this, there was a very strong feeling of unease in the area. I remember going there and using the toilets in the church on that first day that I come down, and it was like any other day. The second day, it was like something in the area woke up. Everything just had an eerie feel to it. But I'll tell that story another time because it's pretty long.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
My goodness. Yeah. I mean, and also for those that are listening in and on the show, if you have any wake stories, I think it's very fitting and would make for some interesting content as well.
Yes, please.
So please share if you have that.
Okay, I want to pick up a comment whereby I saw it on YouTube. First of all, for those who are first time listening to this Friday Night Live, thank you very much for joining us. I only saw one comment saying that, outstanding. This is my first time here. It goes to Terrence1899. Yeah. And also, okay, I pick up
welcome,
another one.
Terrence.
Yeah, welcome. I pick up another one. This is from Luffy, as in the One Piece Luffy, I believe. Luffy. For Luffy0190. He or she asks, deity tattoos are also bad, right? Okay, I don't know whether you guys have heard about this, or I don't remember whether I've shared this before, but I do remember this one particular story whereby this guy, when he go and did a tattoo, right, he was actually told that please do not put a deity tattoo, you know, it's bad unless the temple asks you to do it. So this guy don't believe it, so he went like kind of like took out a challenge. So he went to tattoo himself a big piece of a Guan Gong, which is Guan Yu, right? Guan Gong, riding a motorcycle on his back.
Ayo.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Yeah. So it looks very pretty, lah. It looks very pretty. But guess what happened? A week later, that guy died in a motorcycle accident. Yeah. So
Whether you believe or not, you don't have to be disrespectful of somebody else's, you know, beliefs.
The Quan Kong is also one of the most tattooed deity on people's body. A lot of gangsters, especially the Quan Kong icon, the deity is followed by both the underworld, the mafias, the gangsters, and also the CID, the police.
Yeah.
The direction, whether it's the right-handed hole on the saber or the left-handed hole, one is for the underworld, one is for the authority. But for gangsters, they are known to have tattoo Quan Kong on their back. Some will even tattoo Quan Ying. I know that a girl, she tattooed Jesus Christ on her back as well. So in terms of tattooing...
I guess maybe if you tattoo it because you believe in them, it's because you respect, you want to be reminded of them. Mm. I mean, yes, you maybe it will become something good, right? But if you tattoo it just because, you know, you like took up a friend's challenge, like obviously he put a Quan Kong on his body with riding a motorcycle, that is not out of respect or out of, you know, belief, right? It's just like, you know, it looks cool. So, you know, that I mean, like I have a symbol of Jesus Christ on my body as well. So
But that is more a declaration of your faith, a show of your faith, right?
So
if it comes from a place of good intention, then I think it's fine, or as a decorative art piece. But if it's disrespectful or it makes fun of somebody else's belief, then I don't think that's right.
And perhaps I've also heard about tattoos being holding power in of itself. Like, you know how we talked about in previous episodes how certain names might be too powerful for people to carry. There's also a thought and belief in tattooing and spirituality and the mystic arts associated with tattooing, that if a person has too powerful a tattoo in their body, they bring on a lot of bad luck on themselves.
There's one comment sent by I think it's a Thai word. I can't read the name, but I believe it's Thai or Nepalese, I think. It says, oftentimes, it's not the physical objects or statues that are moving, but rather the entity created an illusion for that people to believe that it's moving. So in this case of the Kuan Yin, it could be Kuan Yin's manifestation as to get the kid to see the eye moving so that the child would understand.
Is it like it's like superimposed kind of a thing as opposed to the actual statue?
Yes.
I'm actually going down the theory that this is nothing but a natural phenomenon. Because we can see stuff like with the Mona Lisa, where if you look at it, no matter what angle you look at it, it looks like she's forever following you. So if you start from the left and you keep your eye on the statue and you walk all the way to your right, you can see what appears to be that the picture, the image actually follows you with their eyes. And certain statues, if they are crafted in a certain way, and I think it has to do with how deep the eyes are actually set in the face of the statue, can provide the illusion that the statue is actually following you with its eyes, when actually it's not.
But for that, you've got to be at a distance to...
Not necessarily.
I've seen. It's a visual thing. And usually it's a 3D type of effect, isn't it? I've seen a few
with images with images that are only kind of like a flat, right? It has to do with the fact that it is like a flat image, and that is one of the reasons why it looks like the eyes are following you. However, with statues, if the statue's eyes are somewhat recessed into the face, I think it's got the way that our brain works. The eyes can actually look like they're following you, and they're not at all.
Okay, I think somebody just commented in YouTube by the name Joey Tan. I think this is the confessor who the story that we just read. I think she is the one who posted it. So she said the statue was very flat, very old statue style.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this is the confessor, Joey. If you are the one who posted up the story. If you somehow can still get us the picture of that would be great. Take a photo, send it to us. If it's too personal, you can send it to Eugene so we can just have a look by ourselves, but not share it on the public or something like that.
And if I were to go down the supernatural route, so if I take the science and I put it aside a little bit, it doesn't seem right to me that a supposed deity who is the personification of mercy and compassion would, cause such a thing to happen to a child. Why would the goddess of mercy do that to a child when a child's just merely playing?
Yeah.
If it was the goddess of mercy's manifestation.
To teach a kid to be respectful.
I don't know. I let my daughter play in my face, and she can draw stuff on my face. It doesn't bother me, and I am not the most merciful or compassionate people out there. So if I can imagine, if there is a being that is the very personification of compassion and mercy, why would that being go, "Oh, you drew on a statue of me, Kana,"
or maybe Joey actually did something that is not right, but not drawing the eye. But drawing the eye is just how Kuan Yin Ma say, okay, this is it. I have to punish this little kid already.
Aliens.
This is if you believe that that's who or what was in the statue. It can be anything else that's going to be in it.
Okay,
take possession of the inanimate object.
Sorry to interrupt, but Joey Tan has written back. He has to teach me to be respectful. Actually, there is a good reason which I can't share. Oh, now I want to know.
Oh.
Give us a hint. Joey Tan, give us a hint.
The plot
give us
thickens.
Like a hint.
Okay, a hint. I think we gotta wait for that. Joey, if it's too personal, you can again, you can just send it to Eugene, yeah, and we will discuss among ourselves, not on the public, but we will discuss right. it among ourselves.
Yeah.
But now, when you say it like that, there is a certain itch that we have now that we cannot scratch.
Yeah. That's correct.
So please, so I think we have enough time for the first confession. We have a lot more to come up.
Yes.
So I think we have to move on. So Eugene,
sure. So Joey, and for anyone else who wants to send me. You know, to get in touch with me, 9459-4931 is my number. Send nudes and confessions, please. also, just a quick one before we go to the next confession. We have Lynn who says, guys, all the hosts, I think Tonya as well, guys and girls, we should each have one episode where we all have our own confession. For those of you who do not know how Supernatural Confessions came about, this is the book that I wrote. My Confessions is Inside. And why I brought this up today, because today is the 6th of May. This story, my experience, my horror, started 5th of May 2012. 10 years ago. Still scarred from that incident. So, oh, nice. So if you do want to get a copy of this book, go to our website. There's still some copies available. It's the only copy left. It's the last, it's first print, and I'm no longer printing this batch. That's what it is. That's all I have.
So yeah, how much is the book again?
$24.40.
Okay, $24. If you pay $30, you will get a naked picture of Eugene inside as well, huh?
Yeah, value for money.
So hopefully 20 years down the line when Eugene is already big and famous, so that will cost, I think, about $20,000 lah. So it's a good value now. $30.
20,000 RM, is it?
Yeah. Oh!
Oh, my Lord.
Crazy joke for long, Sonia.
Emotional damage.
I know lah. Now it's more than times three. It's like 1.34 or something, right?
I don't want to talk about it lah. Please lah. Okay. To answer the question of Lynn asked us that question just now, right? To have a different confession, right? That is already a work in progress. We will have a recording of every one of us. Hopefully, Joe and Sonia too, lah, huh? Where we sit down and tell you guys about what happened to us personally. And then we will put it in one of our special, hopefully the end of this year.
Maybe Halloween.
Maybe
it's a break, yeah.
Yes.
I've told stories before, my own personal ones, on show.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes people may not have, like, we have new fans coming in, yes, people come and go.
They might miss it.
Okay. I think like what Kim said, we have spent a bit too much on the first confession. Confession number uno, duos. Number two, dua. This is Lines by Pookie Bobo.
And I was gonna say, I hope that no one, oh my god, it came true.
Nice.
I was thinking, please, no one pronounce that. Oh,
Pookie is the Norwich player. This is Pucci, not Pookie.
Okay,
Gucci.
Okay, let's try that again. Next story is Lines by Pucci Bobo and is narrated by Desmond. Elvin, take it away.
Lines by Pucci Bobo. Before COVID, I used to take part in running events, so I train regularly to prepare. I usually go for a jog at 4 a.m. as I like the cool atmosphere and serenity. Sometimes I experience strange incidents, but this is the most shocking for me. I usually run 3 rounds around my HDB area to clock about 5 km. Usually it's just me and maybe 2 other regulars that I will encounter on my jogs. Occasionally, I will bump into teenagers who are just returning from a night out. So on that particular day, there were 2 or 3 boys walking along the path. We were just outside the primary school and they were making a lot of noise. They were howling or cooing for some reason. I minded my own business and continued running. Ahead, I reached a turn and as I ran to the left, I suddenly felt my shoulder tilt slightly. In that moment, I thought I had strained my neck, but then immediately I felt a stinging sensation on my left arm. I looked to the left to see if I had brushed against something, but there was nothing there. No shrubs, no objects at the side that I could have touched. As I ran, I stretched out my arm to see the part that stung, and to my horror, I saw a red line as if I was scratched. I think I looked back again to see if there was something that I had brushed against, and there was none. Feeling spooked, I ran back home and showed it to my mother, and she could see the red line too. I told her what had happened. I think the noises the boys made angered something, and it attacked me instead. I think it landed on my shoulder, which was why I felt the pressure, and it scratched me. I believe there's something in the area, as on other occasions, I experienced strange happenings there. For example, as I ran past, I would suddenly hear a tree shake forcefully, something a bird or squirrel could not do. Of course, I dare not look up, but just run past and say a prayer for protection.
Tim, can get you to do the cliff notes for us, please, on this one.
Okay. So, Pucci, oh, I have to watch out. Pucci used to, can I just say Bobo? Okay, Bobo. Cannot lah, no, the name. Pucci Bobo, PB. PB used to do a lot of, Bobo used to do a lot of running events. So, when Bobo used to do a lot of running events, Bobo would always train early in the morning. Early morning is like 4 in the morning, right?
Wow.
So, there is one time when Bobo ran around the block whereby he or she will clock for 5 kilometers. Suddenly, when he was running, he felt something, felt like as if it's either landed on the shoulder or scratched the shoulder, right? Mm. But obviously, there's it's not like an animal flew through, right? Because if it's an animal, Bobo would see it. But there's nothing flew past by. Then after that, Bobo turned around to see whether it's a plant, it's a tree branch or something. Guess what? There's nothing along the path that Bobo ran. So Bobo went back and Bobo saw lines on the body.
How many lines? One line? Many lines?
I think it was one line.
One line, right?
From memory, it's one line, yeah.
What was Bobo wearing? Singlet, t-shirt? Was the shoulder exposed?
Wow, wow, wow. Starting to kena already. He's going to rationalize this. Come on. Questions?
Okay. I will put in assumption lah, huh? Because it's early in the morning, so it's cold. So
it's maybe jogging,
not
right?
Yeah, jogging. Maybe not singlet. Maybe a dry fit t-shirt like what I'm wearing now, you know. So it's I don't think it's singlet because it's early in the morning. It's breezy. So maybe just t-shirt with sleeve.
Mm.
So you think it's something that is the attire that caused it?
So not so much the attire. What this person, Bobo, we don't know, right? Male or female?
Yes.
Pucci Bobo, I'm guessing female, perhaps? Pucci Bobo?
Bobo is very boy, I find. Okay, never mind. Besides the point. Bobo went running at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's very early. It's still dark. The sun hasn't even come up. Okay? Now, 4 o'clock in the morning, if you go for a training run, it would be quite cool. So I would imagine Bobo not wearing a singlet. But even if Bobo was wearing a singlet, what can cause a line? When I first thought about it, low-hanging branch. You know when you run sometimes closer to the sides. But you said when Bobo turned around, there was nothing. Now, I'm thinking an insect, even a... And because I hike so much, I'm out in the elements so much, I've had unexplained lines appear on me, even though I'm fully covered. And sometimes it's an insect. It could be even a bird, something that Bobo disturbed as he or she went through this path. And hearing all that noise, was this in Singapore or in Malaysia?
Singapore.
In Singapore. Okay, then, you know where part of that story, there was a lot of shaking in that tree? Mm-hmm. That could be... A larger animal like a macaque or even a pangolin, because I've gone walking at night and seen pangolins up in the tree where they do shake the tree a fair bit trying to get their termites and ants.
Or the mothman.
But if an animal that large, and, don't you think Bobo would see it at least?
And then you think about it, okay? At 4 o'clock in the morning when you're running, you keep turning around and it's dark. You're already in a state of being easily freaked out. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I would not fear an animal. I would fear a person jumping out of a bush and trying to, you know, do something untoward towards me at that time. Yes, Singapore is somewhat safe, but it's not entirely safe. Things still do case where that hiker or jogger was raped.
Okay. Of course, obviously, that is scarier than getting a lines on your body. But so you think
but what I'm saying is that
it's an insect.
I think it's a state of mind. At 4 o'clock in the morning, if I'm going to be running, I'm already going to be a little bit more fearful, you know, of these things around me and all of that. And it's very easy for your mind to play tricks on you.
Okay,
so that's quite rational. What about you, Joe? Do you have anything to add to that, or do you have another angle to cover this
story? Okay, so the whole question, I'm going to just target the one about the scratch on the body, right? Because I think Sonia has really, I agree with Sonia in terms of the tree shaking, in terms of being able to be scratched outside. Another perspective could be that there already was a pre-existing scratch on this person's body, but only noticed it after he ran, right? You can just imagine that as we go through our daily lives, we are forever bumping into things, you know, we're moving here. There could have already been a scratch that could have been on the body. As he's gone for a run, he sweats, his body's kind of heat rises up, and the scratch becomes a little bit more pronounced. 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm thinking that this guy has already been asleep. He woke up maybe at 3 a.m. and ran for a run. Now, there are various parasomnias, which are kind of like sleep disorders where people actually scratch themselves when they're sleeping. And sometimes those scratches don't actually, especially if they're fine, right? Like, for example, if you've bitten your nail and it has little jagged edges, there's always the possibility that you scratch yourself and the scratches are so fine that you don't actually... you have no awareness that they're there until you go and have a shower or you go and have a run where there's sweat and all those things happen. I mean, have you ever done that before? Got a paper cut, not realize it's there. Suddenly you go and you do a spray in your hand. It's like, and you suddenly feel that paper cut.
And sweat can do that too on the body. Like it can smart, like you never even knew it was there until you started sweating. And it sounds really plausible. If you're running, you
sweat.
That's when when it smarts, and then when you feel, oh, what's that? You
know, and not only that, when you run, right? Here, okay, you know, a little bit of a segue. Do you know that long distance runners tape up their nipples because of chafing? You know that? I've seen pictures of people bleeding from the nipple because they ran. Okay, on a side note, right? What does it show? It shows you the fabric can actually chafe against the body. And especially if you have a part of the thread that's a little bit harder. You know how sometimes the seams in the inside, they can sometimes be quite hard? Or if you've got a tag, that, you know, over a period of time, if you're running and it's constantly scoring across the skin, can create a scratch.
Plausible. Well, I mean, I'm quite sold on this one.
I reckon probable.
Probable. Probable. Very, very much. I don't know, Kim, what do you think, man? I mean, on our camp now, the Camp Hantu seems to be outweighed by these two very powerful explanations. Do you have something for us?
I wanted to say it's good to see Sonia and Joe back in action, because for the past few weeks, I have managed to look up stories whereby they're like, you know what? There's nothing to debunk about this story. I mean, not to say that we don't have rational explanation about it, but I just don't think that there's, we just don't want to debunk it. So that's why I pick a story whereby, you know, it's very on the edge, you know, it's very on the fence, and, you know, they can't make strong. So,
otherwise we'd be redundant, is it?
Yeah, correct. So then people are like, well, what's the point of putting Joe and Sonia on the show? Whoa! Okay. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I wanted to say, okay, of course,
they're good looks, lah.
For Sonia, for Sonia, yes. For Sonia, yes. But for the other person, I'm not so sure.
No, you wait, Kim. You just wait. Person. You know what I'm talking about. You just wait.
I don't. I think going off the trip, I need to tap my nipple first. Already, no. I don't want to risk it. Okay. I wanted to say. Of course, there's a lot of things that is not explained, right? Like, for example, what he's wearing. Is there, you know, how big is the line? How deep is the line? If it's just like, you know, paper cut, yes, one line, maybe you can explain it. But then again, yes, you know, if let's say it's a long three scratch that looks like a fingernail, a claw, how would we explain that? Of course,
you
it's
scratch
very...
yourself.
Hmm.
I can still
like this.
That.
Who runs and scratch himself? I mean,
I do. Hey.
If I suddenly feel an irritation, okay, I would scratch it. I'm not going to... But that's why I asked so many questions, right? I wanted to know... I needed context. What was this person wearing? How easily accessible is this area that's scratched? One scratch, many scratches, all those are clues.
I have even adjusted my nuts, bro. You do all those things when you run. You have to adjust it. Things move, bro.
Okay,
it just shows that Kim doesn't run.
I wanted to say, to Pucci Bobo listening to this, if you're listening to this, it's either on our SC page or on the podcast. Pucci Bobo, please tell us more details about the story. Anything happens to you after? What happened to the scratch? Did you go for more runs after that? Because your brother here, Pucci Bota, want to know about the story, huh? So Pucci Bobo, please. the Pucci Bota want to share
Kim,
detail.
Kim, oi. If we ever meet, right? If we ever meet, have you heard of a term called blanket party?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
We will introduce you to this thing called blanket party. Don't worry.
All right, guys.
It's very fun.
Okay. It's very hard to do show more and more every week. I see Joe. So I think we're gonna have a special guest on tonight, like Eugene mentioned, right? Correct. So before we go to our special guest, of course, that every week, know your hantu. This is where we're supposed to come in, and then when we after we're done with that, I bet after the know your hantu for this week, Eugene has a lot of things to say.
I do.
Yes, so Elvin, take it away.
This episode of Know Your Hantu, we are going to tell you about Chonyo Guisin, the Korean virgin ghost, the spirit of an unmarried woman in Korean folklore. They are also known as Mamyong, Son Mamyong, or Song Gatsi. In older times, Koreans were brought up with the ideologies that women's life's sole purpose is serving their father, husband, and children. Hence, to die before serving that sole purpose would have them roam the earth and cannot move on to the afterlife after they die. It was considered that to them, dying a virgin is equivalent to their life being meaningless. Thus, written in their folklore, unmarried young virgin girls after death become a hun and turns into evil spirits. They would commonly be depicted as a woman wearing a white hanbok, the traditional white mourning attire with their hair down. For only married women tied their hair up. They are also mentioned to roam abandoned buildings such as hospitals, schools, bathrooms, and even lakes, dark country roads, and wooded areas. These spirits haunt with anger and revenge to those who cause them harm and are also known to haunt newlywed couples due to jealousy. They would cause illness and bad luck to the unfortunates. In ancient times, for fear that a virgin would die and become a ghost, those dressed in men's clothes would be buried together, and during burial, the coffin would be buried upside down and thorns would be placed surrounding it. This is to prevent the ghost from coming out thoroughly, and also the dolls were believed to be able to bring them comfort. In modern media, dramas like Oh My Ghost, Hey Ghost Let's Fight, and The Country of Legends revolve around virgin ghosts.
Wow. I like this hantu already.
Young Hatsuyo.
Right. Ladies, I hope that this Know Your Hantu serve as a public service announcement for you guys. So if you are still a virgin or you have not served your husband or your son, please do so because we care for you and we don't want you to.
What?
This is not stepmoms on fire or stepmoms gone
serve
wild.
Serve your son, what?
No, but see, if you serve your husband, you die a virgin, then you become a ghost. We don't want that for you. So
where's the serve your son come from?
Where's the son?
Yeah, you said serve son. Serve son for what?
Oh, serve your children also, they said, right? Serve your husband, serve your children. Correct? Kim?
Yes. As in doing housework, cooking, cleaning the house. Serve your father, your husband, and your children.
A lot of modern women is probably going to turn to this Korean ghost, you know?
Is it a stepson? Is it?
No, that's not the kind of show we're talking about. I mean,
but hang on a second. I thought you said it was virgin.
Yeah,
That's why if you die a virgin without having to get married, you know, you did not fulfill the sole purpose whereby you are supposed to serve your father, your husband, and your children, you're going to turn into this cause.
A hantu.
Women were not created to serve their husbands. Or their children.
Korean folklore.
This one is going to be a hantu when she die. Confirm one. What's Shan Cheng Yong? Is it? What's this ghost?
I think it's Sam Seng Yong.
Sam Seng Yong.
Sam Seng Yong.
This one.
Good grief.
Okay lah. Apparently not Eugene has a lot to say. Sonia has a lot to say. but I think this ghost don't exist anymore lah.
I can understand why there'd be so many women up in arms against that ghost.
Hey, Sonia, why are you so fingered? Sorry, I've been triggered.
Sorry. Anyway, before this gets out of hand, before we bring our special guest on board, I want to say a very quick promo. For those of you who have been following us for some time and you are a fan of ghost stories and you like to dissect ghost stories, and you remember this bearded friend I have called Jonathan Lim? I mean, show us the poster. We will be back every Tuesday for season 5, where we're going to look at ghost short stories, dissect them. So if you are interested in that, join us on Tuesday, 10 p.m. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, so I bring Hadi on, eh?
Bring Hadi on, please.
All right.
Hadi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for inviting me for this evening, guys.
Hi, Hadi. Wow.
Hello, Hadi.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay, Hadi,
can you hear me now?
Yes.
Loud
guys,
here.
If you want to leave comments, ask questions, go ahead. AMA anytime. We'll read out the questions to Hadi and then hopefully he can answer them.
Yes.
Hadi, do you have any? I know you have a lot of stories. When I met you, you have a lot of stories to tell us. Unfortunately, we could only take half an hour of your time that night.
No worries.
Yeah, but I'm sure you got someone to tell us. Please, this floor is all yours. We got till 11:30, so. give us another confession.
Well, I've written most of them in my in the Must Be the Hantus.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. You've seen all my experiences through my friends or through my I mean 60 years going through life, and I've basically either I see them or I hear them or they touch me, you know, the kind of situation I've been through. So if you ask me right now, suddenly there's a kind of a blank. I don't know which one to choose. But basically, the one that really stays in my mind is considered the recent one, you know, where I ran this place, this shop at the grandstand. For a couple of months, it was okay, almost about a year, but suddenly, these things start happening. Although sometimes I've been there early in the morning, I've seen shadows going around, but I just didn't care, you know. Because I know I rented this place, I just want to sell something here and just make money here, and that's it. But last couple of months, that is by the end of last year, somewhere around October, November, where things started to happen. Firstly, actually, people come to my shop and they can't even see my shop.
Mm.
That's one incident. Not once, but many. Even my own followers, my own friends, they tell me, Abang, last week I went to your place. I saw the first shop. I saw the third shop and the other shop, and your shop is closed. Which day? I say it's Wednesday. And Wednesday I was actually standing behind the cashier at one time, this time. So I wonder what is happening. So not only once, but a couple of times. And not only my stall, but other stalls also, they also experience the same thing. So I think somebody's trying to play a prank on us or try to be funny, you know. Physically, my shop is open almost every day except on Mondays. So not only one, but a few of my followers, they came. They from far, they say, "Abang, your shop is closed." So they went back. They call me, "Bang, your shop is closed." So I'm here. So like I said, something must be funny. So the people play at your shop, try to sabotage you, or there's something there that actually covered your shop. So that's one of the normal incidents that ever happened. So apparently last couple of months back, somewhere around September, October. So I have a staff who actually helped in the kitchen. So sometimes they're not happy what's happening. Suddenly they just leave without telling me why. So I call them and all that, say what happens, and never reply. Then I got a few more staff come in part time, work for 3 days, gone off, disappeared, never want to come, call them, so they never reply. So something must be funny. So I had total of almost 3 staff I brought in. So most of them left. So I think maybe Singaporeans are lazy, you know. They don't want to work. You know, I mean, it's a common practice in F&B now.
Yeah.
Locals don't want to do this job, especially helping in the stall or in the kitchen and restaurant. So I myself have to run the show with my wife, lah, so we done. But there are occasional days where I got disturbed. One is they start playing my apron, pulling my apron, then pulling my shirt, then pulling my hair. Not only me, but my wife suka na. So I felt like something is funny lah. So except because they left somewhere around early this year. So I went there almost like 1 month after. I tell my wife, I think we cannot take it lah. We close the shop. Even though I have to lose the deposit lah, few thousand dollars. I say never mind, because of this we just go off lah. But when I go off, sorry.
Okay, abang, I wanted to ask, is there any friends or people who actually went to your store and call you when they are there? Like when they are standing right in front of your store, they're like, "Hey, abang, I'm here at the store. Why are you closed? Have that ever happened?"
Surprisingly, they don't. Only after they left, then they call me. I don't know.
Are we interrupting you?
No problem. Yeah, carry on.
I'm just wondering if this could be a competitor. It sounds like someone wants to affect your business, and then they've put a veil over your shop. Do you have any competitors there?
I mean, offhand, I think there is lah. Yes, I just couldn't be bothered who they are. But I mean, they must become kind of misunderstanding. Because they see that I got my own followers. They come to take my stalls, buy things from my stalls. And actually, I survive now not because of the regulars, but because of my followers. I got pre-orders and all that. So I survived through my pre-orders lah. Not through the stall itself. But apparently, I think this person, I know who he is, but I just leave it, you know. Okay. I let the Lord settle with him, deal with him.
I was going to ask the question as to whether, you know, you knew who this person was, or whether stuff like this has happened before.
I think I knew who the person is.
Okay.
I knew who the person is.
Isn't this quite a common practice? I hear of this a lot, like at Changi Village and
yes.
Right? Where they use certain spells or magic. Like magic.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
To increase the number of patrons that come to their stall.
Yes.
Versus other ones. Is that the same type of within the same realm of black magic that is used?
That's different. That is actually, they call it Polaris.
Polaris, yeah.
Yeah,
Abang is suffering the opposite, whereby nobody can see. Yeah. It's a totally different...
One is to invite, and then another one is to put a veil over...
Put a veil over your shop. The total shop means that they blank your shop to make sure that your shop look empty.
One of the Polaris story that I remember was... Yes. They need to put the owner's underwear in the cooking so that, you know, the gravy will become better and more addictive to the patients that come.
Or sanitary pad or tampon as well. That's what they were using.
Okay,
that is the Polaris, man.
this is just like nasi kangkang on steroids.
Next level,
Okay, I tell the truth. Actually, there are many ways they do it. One, they use jeans. You know jeans.
Yeah.
To sit inside the kitchen where the jeans will leak on your plate and all that. So whenever people buy, they feel the food is good, but when they bring back, the food tastes tasteless. Ah, that's one. The other one, they put someone standing, a jinn standing in front of your shop. So when you queue, you never let go. How long the queue is, you will stay there. Yes. The other plurals, they use something they use to grave. The grave, okay? They will take the heads. The batu nisan. The batu nisan? Yeah, okay. The headstone. They will cut right in cloth and they will walk all the way from the grave to their shop, and they hide it somewhere inside one of their cabinet.
Can we ask, when you obviously would have done some cleaning up in the shop, did you find anything there?
So far, I didn't find anything, except there's one time there was a frog was trying to come into my shop.
Frog.
Frog.
Yeah. In Thai magic, sometimes what they do is that they kind of they do curses into frogs and they release it.
Yes, I heard of it also. So I saw the frog from, my shop is upper floor, second floor, no? Those are upper floor. But I don't understand where this frog come out. And the frog insisting on coming to my shop. Coming to my shop. I said to hold it, come to my shop. In the end, I caught it. I just drive somewhere, just throw it somewhere else. Lah.
Bro, tendang lah.
Sorry?
Tendang lah.
No, it's a living thing lah.
Yeah. Okay, Abang, somebody... us on YouTube, right? The clerk says us. Did you ever try to hire Ghostbusters or imams or ustas to negotiate or try to do something to prevent or remove whatever that is happening at your shop?
Okay. Actually, I got a friend. He come down and he tried to look at the place. Yeah, somebody did put something in your shop. So what he did was he cleansed a bit, but only temporary. Like, this kind of thing, even being an ustas, it's only temporary. Mm. After a while, they come back again. They will try again to bring a stronger jinn to catch up you, disturb you. This kind of thing will never end. I tell you.
So you felt that giving up the shop and losing the down payment was an easy option.
Yes, correct.
Man, I tell you what stress you must have been on. That's very, very stressful. A choice. You know what I mean? That to give away your livelihood like that. I'm so sorry that's happened to you, Hedy.
No worries, no worries.
You said you suspected somebody, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the signs that point to that suspicion?
Oh, because the burger wasn't too happy. I don't like to say it here because I think he might be one. He might be in the group also.
Okay.
He's in this group. he and his the other one so in the group. I know they are in this group. So they are always monitoring you wherever you go. I don't give a damn.
Well, I suppose if someone believes in black magic and hantu, then this group would be the perfect place.
Yes, correct. You are right. So people come here to find remedies. People come here to find ways or maybe, to find another way to gas up other people.
Bro, there's such a thing called karma. Comes around. And, I believe. If they have decided to engage in these kind of practices, they eventually have to pay back. That's the law of the universe.
Yes.
I agree with you. I agree. Maybe I can tell you another story.
Yes, okay. Sure.
It was about 25 years ago. Actually, I was asked to help a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He ran a satay store, so he was alone, got no workers and all that. So what happened is that the shop owner only allowed us to sell satay in the evening. Okay, but apparently there's one stall at the corner also want to sell satay. So we were selling satay. We only sell satay. He was selling all sort of things from what you call mee rebus, mee soto, nasi padang, whatever. But when he saw us doing satay in the evening, he also want to sell. So of course the boss of the coffee shop said, no, you can't. I really make this guy to sell satay. People come so that they come here for the drinks. You see, so the satay goes with the drinks. That's a fact, right? So and we were selling very well on the evening. So one after about almost a month. So it was about almost 5:30, 6 o'clock. I received a call from the coffee shop owner saying, "Hey, your kawan pengsan behind the shop, fainted." So I rushed down. He was faint. He was lying down. So they carry him to the stall. So I gave him some water. He woke up. So I asked him what happened. He told me, "Bang, just now all the barang we put behind the coffee shop the what you call the barbecue stove and everything. So while I was suddenly one big jinn was standing in front of me, an ugly face I painted. It says,
oh
yes, he fainted. Yeah, he fainted. So after that, we start to open the shop, so slowly clean. He said, okay, lah. So he started, because he's the one who bakar the satay. So bakar satay. We started to sell. Then I was inside the shop. I saw people walking through my shop. They look on top. Alamak, close, huh? They walk off. Eh, I hear the word close, no? I'm inside the shop, no? So when I went... this is real thing happening to my shop. So I come out from the shop. Then I look around. Then my regular customer come. Hey, bang, I want 10 chicken. I want 10 mutton. I want 10. Then when I'm outside the shop, they can order. When I go in the shop, they can't see the shop. They say the shop is closed. So I say something is wrong. So about almost 8 o'clock, I told my friend, hey, I think we close today, lah. Something is wrong. So I went to my, I went to my friend's place. I go and talk to him, lah. So I mean, he's like, Ustaz, lah. I say, hey, your place has been cursed. Apparently, there's a big jinn covering your space down there.
Wow.
So he gives some, he do some recitation of the Quran. He give me water. So he told me, you go back, you wash your shop with this water and salt. Okay? So I washed the place. They say one thing, you know, the usually we have this stall, aluminum stall in front, right? You know, the aluminum, or you call shelf, right? So you shift in by 10 mm, by 1 inch to them. So I shift in, boom. Then I say, never mind, you just go back. Tomorrow you see. Tomorrow when I opened the shop, wow, you know, the people was like that, no, queuing to buy the satay, and that guy was looking like, hey, like more people are coming in. So I was there almost about 6 months. 6 months. Then one day the son came to me, and the son tell me, "Abang, my father passed away."
Oh,
my father passed away. So I asked, I know what's happening. So never mind. He said, forgive my father. So he tell the story. Yeah, he said that. He asked for forgiveness.
So he knows, lah.
Yeah, he knows his father. Yeah. So he knows his father was doing it. So he said, please forgive my father. I said, okay, I said, forgive him, lah. Since he already died, right? So I don't want you to answer to the heavens. Oh, this is a real true story. Come to me and tell me that. Then after that,
There's one thing I know from this story, right?
Yep.
Is that if that amount of people want you out of business, your food must be out of this world. So please keep in contact. If you open another store, when I come to Singapore, I'm right there having some makan at your store. That's 100%.
Okay, bro. Yeah. Okay,
I think we can arrange for one special one for the SC community. I think we
I think
Abang Hadi can cook for, you know, like, you know, 50, 100 pack special for
gathering.
The next meetup should be there.
Yes. Right.
Okay, we'll do
that. But interesting, I would say interesting stories are everywhere you go, you bump into this kind of things and whatnot. So I think the message that we should get from this to whoever that is in F&B business, if you see your competitor is having a better business, you just cook better, lah. Cook better than them, lah. Then people will come.
Correct. That's why. Exactly.
That's why. Rather than pull people down, and then in the end, what happens is it comes back to bite you in the backside. There is a price to pay.
Or work with them and cook something that's complementary to what they're cooking. They cook mirabus, you
correct.
Cook museum.
Have a collaboration.
Exactly, why not?
Yeah, true, I agree. I mean, for me, I like to work together, you know? I mean, I'm not selling the same food as what you're selling.
Yeah.
You already are selling like 20 dishes, 20 dishes. I'm only selling one dish in satay. That's it. You know?
Yeah.
It's very sad. It's very sad to hear stories like that.
Indeed,
where
indeed.
People have to resort to such
things. Okay. Just want to take a quick comment from the audience. Zarita Zainal.
Yes.
I think it's a she. Zainal? Guy.
Yes, Zarita. Zarita's girl,
Yeah, sometimes to break the spell, you have to be your own first customer of the day, and then only people will come in. Have you heard of that one?
I've not heard of it, but I've heard of some Chinese stall. If you're the first customer, any price you bargain, they will give you first. This is common for, like, you go to the market, you buy fish, you buy meat, or you buy vegetable, you know. If you're the first customer, you tell them, okay, the guy may say, hey, it's $5. Okay, it's $4. They just give $4. It's just to open the key, you know, something like that.
I've heard this same story when you go and buy gold and stuff in Singapore as well. Like, if you go there as the first customer, it's good luck and they have to give you that good price.
Correct.
First customer in the morning.
Thailand as well. You first customer, you can slash price down. They'll give it to you.
It's, apparently.
It's the same in India and Sri Lanka as well.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yes, if you're the first customer, they'll give you a really good price. And then it's like a lucky omen type of a thing. Yeah. Where
yes.
Like you will bring and invite more business in.
Correct, correct.
$10 correct. For the Nintendo Switch.
Then they will tell you, I rather cross shop. I don't answer to you.
I rather cross shop. Yeah, true.
Honey, you know the rumor, because I think you're in the F&B business and we talk about magic, right? So yeah. There's this urban legend that I've always wanted to clarify. So
yes.
The satay club.
Yes.
People have been saying that in the satay club, uh-huh. Obviously, satay club is gone. So, if you don't know what satay club is, you're not from that generation, guys.
Oh, I'm from that era, bro.
Yeah,
I've been there.
Yeah. We are from that era, but a lot of audience may not know satay club by now.
Yeah.
So back then, satay club were at two places before they moved.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of satay area. Then the other legend is that some shops resort to black magic. You know that for a fact.
Yes, correct. I was told about it. Yeah, correct.
And what are some of the? Oh, also. Since we're talking about food and magic, right? Mm. Do you know how to do nasi kangkang?
Asking for a friend, right?
Hey, I'm not a guy, I'm not a girl. I'm a guy, I'm not a girl. Usually what happens is that actually nasi kangkang is more meant for husband and wife. Sometimes the wife wants to be more domineering. She wants the husband to listen to her, you know. So what she did was, I mean, she must have she can do it on the show just by kangkang herself over the rice. Okay, she has to get spell or some mantra, you know, from somebody, maybe a dukun or something. And then from that mantra, she will make agreement with the dukun with that mantra. Mm. Okay, so after that, she will go back and when she cook, before she serve the husband or before the husband comes, she will do a thing like she will. Ganggang
step
the
over it, yeah.
Step right, over like, it, ganggang over it, yes. So maybe the water, the vapor will drop on it, and that become the reason why the husband will listen.
Does that work? Besides giving a diarrhea, does that work to
apparently to chop it doesn't. What I've experienced this before last time. I heard story of a kampong time, so it doesn't give him diarrhea, but it will make the husband like so his damn gong gong, you know, in the way that whatever the wife say, he will follow. You know?
So if Eugene changes, then we know what happened, lah.
it's a kind of curse. It's a curse, but this kind of thing also won't last long, lah. Because after a certain time, the thing will wear out.
Let me just repeat again.
Keep topping up.
Yeah. You see, the reason why, something I must tell you. See, people, they always go to the bomo or the dukun. When they go to the bomo and the dukun, what the bomo will say? No? This is what you want, right? No, they will do to you. This is what you want, right? Okay, what you want is that they put the jinn or the Satan or whatever, polong, pochong, whatever, to follow you. If it works, if the other guy succumb to your black magic or whatever, you win. Because that shaitan or that jinn or whatever can penetrate through you. But if he doesn't, then he will bite you back. That's what they call karma.
Oh.
You make a sort of contract.
Yeah, it's like an agreement, right?
Agreement. Yeah.
I don't like any penetration of any kind.
Yeah. True.
I don't understand this nasi kangkang thing. Why is even necessary? Husband, if you go to source, it's the same thing.
Sorry.
He means nasi kangkong lah.
Nasi kangkong.
I mean, but then if the man go to the source, then you must be chanting the mantra lah as it's going down on you, I guess.
Yeah, definitely he would.
But that's my
what
point.
Are we talking about now?
Okay, I wanted to say, husband out there, when you are listening to this, if you are not doing the cooking at home, please at least cook the rice. You can let your wife grill
Hadi
the
was,
fish.
Hadi was saying that it doesn't even have to be rice. It can be water. It can be any dish. So,
as long as she kangkang over the thing.
Yes.
Doesn't matter curse, whether it's rice or not.
Yeah, correct.
Eat out lah. Delivery.
No, I put a CCTV in your kitchen.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so that's the only way.
I heard this story where the maid did the nasi kangkang on the...
Yes, I was going to say. Oh,
yeah.
I heard.
It does happen. Yeah, it does happen.
Do you have any story to share with us on some of the things that you have heard?
Okay, nothing about nasi kangkang, but something about bringing back things from their country.
Okay, go ahead with that. You got five.
Okay. Basically, I have a godfather. He's a Chinese monk. He helped me before. So one day he was doing this cleansing of the house. somewhere in Haogang. It's a three-story semi-D. So apparently, when he entered the room, he felt touch shock already. And the maid, the Indonesian maid, start to cursing at him, you know, for no reason. So they followed everything. All the rooms were except for her bedroom, which is on at the attic. So when they went to attic, she get angry and she want to whack my godfather. So my godfather is Buddhist, but apparently she has something in her body. So my godfather said there's something in her body. So she was taking it in Indonesian. So I'm half Thai. I'm some Thai. I'm a bit of Thai, Javanese and Malay. So she called me. So I came down. So I discussed with her. Who are you? Say, oh, he is actually from the island, from the mainland of Indonesia. When she come to Singapore, apparently the parents gave it to her to bring as protection. So that she don't get bullied and everything. But then they realized that the house itself, inside the house, because the house is belongs to a Chinese, so he has this Kuan Yim or something in the house, so it cannot work. And this thing keep coming out, moving inside the house. So the owner of the house saw it a few times, so they have to call my godfather.
Saw it?
Yes, saw the thing. Saw the jinn running around the house. So that's where the jinn don't feel comfortable in the house. So they have to engage my godfather. So he came down. So he was trying to do it, but he found it, but he cannot communicate, you know, the language. So I went to communicate. Yeah. So in the end, so we find a way to bring her outside of the house. When she went outside the house, then he does a cleansing there. Then she chased the jinn out from the body. This one experience. This is actually very common practice. I mean, for those Indonesian men or even Thai or even Myanmar or even Philippine men, some of them, they live in a remote country and their only sense of survival is to work together with this kind of entity, you know, as protection. Because definitely, you know, my daughter is going to work in Singapore, you know. I don't know where she get bullied down there or not. So
yeah,
they keep this so that
protection.
So that at least the employer feel sayang, you know.
Yeah, sometimes. So they're looked upon with favor, right?
Yes, correct. That is the reason why. So must be careful.
Yeah. Well, Hadi, we would love to... I think you have other shops, right? Not just the one at Dove City.
Okay,
right?
for now, I take a break first. Maybe after Hari Raya, maybe about next month, 2 months, I may get a shop lah. Somewhere in Chinatown, we're doing some Western food and all that.
I tell you what, Hadi, since you are now online with us,
yes.
Why do we do this, right? When you start your shop,
yes.
We're going to have a SC gathering at your place. We will be the first customer so we can bargain with you.
Oh, thank you very much, brother. Yeah. Special discount for you guys.
Everybody in the Supernatural Confession community has heard that. Hadi's going to give a special discount. And we're going to,
definitely.
2 months' time, we're going to have makan at his place. Hadi, thank you so much. We ran out of time, but we will love to catch up with you again for more of your confessions.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Hadi. 11:30 is the time where if you want to listen to more of Hadi's confession, he's our featured confessor for tonight, 11:30 p.m. on Supernatural Confessions YouTube, youtube.com/supernaturalconfessions. Go and listen to Hadi, part one of two special requests for Carlos Cole on a two-parter for this one. Go check it out. Any other further questions? Any of you guys want to see more community members coming up? Just message us. For now, I'm actually going through a nomination list that you guys have nominated somewhere in March and April. A few names are coming up. I know Jim Koh has been hotly requested for. I've been asking Jim to come on up. He's a bit shy, but he says mid-May, uncommitted. I spoke to Sophia today. Sophia says due to privacy and protection, sensitive protection stuff, she cannot show her face, but she has got us a voice recording because at 11 p.m. at night, sometimes she does shift work, she's working, she cannot be online with us. There's also other names like Kara, Iman Arisa, and a lot of other names. Mr. Fucker Dong Dong himself, Warachai, is also potentially coming on the show. So give them support, give us more names, and keep supporting Supernatural Confessions. Tell your friends about it, like and share your stories. I always say the day we have no more confessions is the day we close shop. So you want to hear more stories, spread the word around and let people know who we are. Okay. Well, let's say goodbye, guys.
Yep. I just want to say before I say my goodbyes, thank you to Emily, Ewan, and Raymond since last week to this week for your coffees. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And guess what,
thank
guys?
You.
my name is Joe, and there's always more satay than there is time to eat satay. No, what? There's always more questions than there are answers. Thanks, guys, for spending your Friday night with us.
And I'm Sonia, and I usually have a super rational explanation for most everything. Hadi, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much to Abang Hadi, and also thank you very much for everybody that is listening. If you want to listen to Sophia's confession on audio, we're going to release it on our podcast. So if you're listening to your podcast either on Spotify, Apple, Google, any other platform, you just type in our name, Supernatural Confessions. You would hear our Monday and also Wednesday release. Okay, while we were talking to Abang Hadi just now, I actually find a solution to nasi kangkang. So that will be my closing for tonight. Yeah. So gentlemen out there, if you open your wife's leg enough in the bedroom, she will close her leg enough in the kitchen. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Until the next week. Bye-bye.
I'm not sure how I'm going to beat that on closing. But
it's quite true, I think.
Yeah. If you need to use nasi kangkang with anybody, you know what? Just join the Supernatural Confessions community. There's a lot of single guys out there. Elvin is single, so ladies, you are never alone. So that's all I got for tonight. We'll see you guys next week. Supernatural Confessions every Friday night live. Tuesday, we'll be back with Jonathan Lim on Ghost Mortem. Okay, and hit straight to YouTube right now. If you're on Facebook, we have Hadi J.
You're still doing that.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Nasi kangkang for everyone.
Nasi kangkang.
What did you find? You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.